It is time for parenting. Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean.
Right. First question is, in the last couple of months, my three-year-old has begun pushing, hitting and hurting his one-year-old brother. And this behaviour is becoming a habit and appears to be happening more often. I can see the intensity on his face and he seems to really intend to hurt him. It's not rough play. We've tried everything. Talking to him and telling him why it's not okay. Rewarding good behaviour, removing toys if he doesn't stop, removing the younger one so he can't hurt him. But that doesn't seem fair or a long-term solution. I can see a lot of what he's doing is for our attention, but I don't understand this as we give him so much of our time. We give him time with each of us separately. We play with him, read with him, do jigsaws, make Lego, give him treats, take him to the park, playground, zoo, etc. We do what we can with him and with both of them when we can. I don't like the pattern we're getting into of constantly giving out to him. Don't hurt your brother. Don't hit him. Stop pushing him. We don't hurt people. Your brother loves you. Please be nice. These are phrases we're using non-stop in our house, and they're obviously not working. We're exhausted from the repetitive behaviour and losing patience with the whole situation, and it's causing some bickering between me and my husband too. I also wonder how it must feel to him, like we're all against him, always giving out and correcting him. He can often be a lovely, kind boy. He loves helping me sometimes with housework or with changing his brother's nappy, and can sometimes be really good with him, but it's usually short-lived and he just can't seem to help the urge to give him a dig or a push.
Yeah, I mean, he's three. And yeah, I don't want to dismiss this as, oh, well, he's three, because when this parent writes, you know, I can see the intensity on his face and he seems to really intend to hurt him. I do want to catch that, Sean, because I would offer instead that the intensity on his face is likely a reflection of the intensity of emotion he's feeling at the time. Really angry, really frustrated, rather than any, you know, expressed intent to hurt, because cause and effect thinking is underdeveloped at this stage.
Yeah.
I know it looks like, oh, they're little masterminds and they know exactly what they're doing, but it's not, because it's all coming from a place of me, myself and I. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? It's not about the other person. So also that, all, you know, this parent, God, you've tried so much, you know, you've done all these rewarding, removing, they're all behavior modification things that rely on an understanding of cause and effect thinking.
Yeah.
I really feel they're ineffective because developmentally he's too young for those to be anything other than ineffective. So I would stop doing those. They're going to drive you nuts. And when you're saying, I can see he's looking or doing this for attention, I would challenge that as well, because you are giving him truckloads of attention. Even this negative behavior is getting him a lot of attention. I wonder, is it connection seeking? And at 3 years old, what's happening is he doesn't have, even if he's a chatty little guy, he doesn't have the emotional vocabulary or fluency to express what he's feeling underneath this behavior. And he's looking at this baby brother who's suddenly one now and a little bit more mobile and interactive and able to pick up his stuff and take his stuff, a little bit more of a developmental competitor than he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of going, well, hang on a second, I must assert myself here and make sure you know who's boss. And he's not handling it, you know, at all, because he's three. So I do think you're right with what you're doing to some extent in that this is about boundaries. But how you approach boundaries with a three-year-old whose attention span is blink and you miss it is very different to how you're going to do it as he grows up. So you do want to do your gentle yet firm no.
Yeah.
Keep the words, all of those lovely words you've said, don't hurt your brother, don't do this. Oh, no. Say it in way fewer words. No, no hitting.
Yeah.
That's it. You're done. They're all the words you're using. And then redirection and distraction. And what you might want to do instead of always listing out don't do, stop doing, is add in what he should do. If you constantly tell a young child what not to do, it's exactly like me now telling everyone listening not to think of an elephant.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all I'm leaving you with.
Yeah.
But if I say I'd love you all to think about a horse, I'm more likely to elicit the behavior I want to see. So if you are saying no, no hitting, give your brother a hug. Give your brother a high five, group hug, all together, and you redirect him into something, then bring him into a block building or his trains or his dinos or whatever it is he likes to play. Set him up with that, sit with him for a minute or two and get it going. And it's okay then to let him see that you're comforting the hurtee rather than the hurter getting all of the focus, because it is a very effective way to pull the adults to you. Even if they're giving out to you, they're all about you in that moment.
Yeah.
So you do want to minimize a little bit of that. So I just think increase his outdoor play as well. I know this parent is saying how he's playing is not rough play, but I'm wondering, does he get enough rough play?
Yeah.
Because he certainly seems to have a truckload of pent up frustration and energy and impulsivity in his little body. Get him out moving, jumping, crashing, rolling, all of that stuff to help him work some of that out.
Yeah. I would imagine as well, the 3-year old has his stuff.
Mm-hmm. And now Big time, what I'm thinking.
And the 1-year old is mobile now, so yeah. I'm going to get me some
and
of that.
He's never had to share his things before now, because in fact, he probably was directed before now not to share his stuff with the baby because the baby was too young.
Yeah.
And so now here's this little usurper going, well, I'll just help myself to a block in each hand because I like the way they feel. And he doesn't like that, but he's not able to say, hey, it's hard for me to adjust to sharing with my sibling. So instead, he's going to hit him.
Yeah. Yeah, but it will pass.
It will pass. Yeah, it will definitely pass. Yeah. And if it didn't pass, then that's a different conversation. Yeah. But it will. And it will, as he gets a little bit older, he gets a little bit more independent and able to express his emotions in other ways. It will pass. Also, the 1-year-old is going to hit too and fight back.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it will pass. It is a phase.
Yeah. Since Easter, I've had a problem getting my 5-year-old daughter to stay in her own bed and sleep through the night. During the holidays, she went from her normal 8 p.m. bedtime to 9 p.m., sometimes 9:30, because she was on holidays from school. Now she wants to stay in our bed and won't sleep in her room anymore unless I sit there half the night until she eventually falls asleep. By the time I get down to sleep, it's sometimes 9:30 or 10 p.m. My husband and I have tried lots of things to get her back to a good sleep routine, such as having a nightlight, resting her on the pillow and then leaving the room and sitting on the floor outside while she cries nonstop, bringing her back to her routine at 8 p.m. with a story, kissing her goodnight, giving her a countdown from an hour in advance. Nothing is working and she's still getting to sleep too late. We're also all exhausted and she's wrecked in the morning. At the recent parent-teacher meeting, the teacher said her concentration has deteriorated, which is not surprising. Any advice so welcome?
Oh, you know, and it's her first time, you know, I'm thinking she's 5. It's probably her first time having school holidays.
Yes.
When the routine tends to change. Now, it is, Sean, a significant regression if solely based on a holiday break and the routine slipping. So, you know, slightly later bedtime for a week or two, this is quite a lingering significant regression. I'm thinking of those tears. She cries nonstop.
Yeah.
I was kind of okay going, okay, okay. And then when you said that, I went, oh, this is actually really distressing for her. This is not something she's just pushing a boundary on. Actually, she's really struggling. So I was, you know, is Easter, is an hour later bedtime over Easter break enough to explain that? Parents listening will know if it is or not. Just make sure there's no other trigger at home or in school or in any of her little activities, and always hold in mind what would constitute a trigger or something significant for a 5-year-old is very different to what we grown-ups might deem significant.
Yeah.
Any changes in childcare or after school care, anything like that that could have unsettled her, any little microaggressions in school, you know, falling out, you know, the way kids get at each other at that age, and they can be unintentionally mean to each other and that can hurt as well. So you've had your parent-teacher meeting, so it likely would have come up if it was that, but I just want to have them think about that. I also think, you know, she's 5 and children around this age, their awareness of the world outside of home increases because they're in school and they're out there dealing with other kids and all of their little influences. So they can develop with that awareness more fears about things. They can hear about things. Gosh, I remember in my own child's school, some little story going around about some mystery kidnapping situation and everybody being up to 90 about it, all the little kids for a while. So just any little nuggets she might have picked up in school, different perspectives, all of those can nurture fears and anxieties or uh-oh feelings, really, that if she's not processing or talking about, she's carrying with her into bedtime. So, you know, also, she is at an age at 5 for testing boundaries, and bedtime is a perfect one to test.
Yeah.
So just to give you the kind of normalizing developmental perspective on that, what I would do is ensure, because you're doing all these right things, you know, you're giving her the countdown, you're doing the story and the kissing goodnight and bringing her back to the routine that was working, and stick with it, because I know you feel like you've been at this for ages and ages, but you've tried quite a lot in a short space of time. Go back to basics and what was working for her and you and stick with that. But I would add in, you know, when you're giving her this countdown, couple of considerations, no screens an hour before bed.
Yeah.
And put play in there. And even if it's physically robust, active, rough and tumble which sounds counterintuitive, but any play that's going to help her to have fun, authentic joy, shared joy with you that will release any residual tension she could be holding in her little body or mind before she goes to sleep, that's going to really help the bedtime routine. You might also, you know, when you're doing this little countdown with her kisses goodnight, do it in quite a kind of body mindfulness way. So you have her lie really still, close her eyes, tell her to imagine her body is stiff like a robot, and then have her go loose like a rag doll and stiff like a robot and loose like a rag doll, and do that 3 to 5 times because she's going to tighten her muscles and then release them. And again, any little stiffness that's lingering in the body will go with that. And then do your good night as a body scan. Good night hair, good night forehead, and you're giving a kiss on each as you say it. Good night nose, good night chin, good night soft tummy, all the way down to her wiggly toes. And you're doing that countdown with her. And then you have to get out of the room as quickly as you can, but not if it results in her crying nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's no way, nobody wants their child to cry themselves to sleep. That's not a restful sleep. So then you've got to get curious about what's behind the crying. It's not just you going to bed. Why is it that she's seeking such close proximity to you all of a sudden? Some children always want to be in their parents' bed, but if she never has and suddenly does, ask her to tell you the story of her crying. Don't say, don't cry, there's no need to cry, there's nothing wrong. Instead, ask her, why you're crying? What's the story of your crying?
Yeah.
You know, what's making these tears come out? And just let her talk in case there's any little things going on in her mind. The key is that you stay calm. Reassure her with touch. That could be a rub and a squeeze of the hand, little kisses, as we've said. But once she's in that, you've done all your bits and good night, decrease the verbal stuff. And if she's getting out of her bed, calmly walk her back to her bed without verbal engagement, because that's just pulling you into a negotiation or a chat. Mm. And just try to persevere with it. Stick with one thing, because there's quite a few things they've tried. Go back to what the routine was that worked and stick with it.
Was moving the bedtime during the holidays
a mistake?
A mistake?
Absolutely. Yes. 100%. Because, you know, it's very hard for children to hold conflicting sets of rules in mind about the same thing.
Yeah.
But it was okay to hang out with you a bit later and chat, and it was okay. So, yeah, I mean, try to keep their routine as consistent as possible. Yeah.
My 14-year-old son has become very ratty and rude to us lately. He's constantly snapping at us and his younger sister. Everything is an argument, shouting at me, where are my runners? I need them now. I'm going to be late. Or demanding to know why his kit is not washed, despite being told time and again it's his responsibility to put his dirty gear into the wash basket. He's always eye-rolling at myself and his dad, and his newest complaint is to tell us what we can and can't say anymore. That we should be so cancelled. I understand this is partially hormones and also part of growing up, but equally the way he speaks of us all is becoming unacceptable. It really upsets his sister. Some of it seemed to ramp up since he started palling around with a new lad, but it would be unfair to blame it on him. Although they do seem to egg each other on. Initially, I wondered if the acting out was linked to something else, maybe school or a friend group, but after a bit of investigation, all seems well there. I do lose patience at times, and I know I should be approaching him better, but I want to be accepting of changes in him, but also can't let basic manners slide. He snapped at his grandmother at the weekend, totally unfairly. Any advice for dealing with this?
Yeah, it's never fair to snap at your grandmother.
No.
So, you know, look, when you read this, he's ratty and he's rude and he's 14. You kind of feel like, well, that's bang on schedule. You know, and it is, you know, they're saying it's partially hormones. It's more than partially. It's a whole lot of stuff that's going on with change. Now, explaining is not excusing. Mm. And that's something you do need to be clear about. What I'm not clear in this letter is how are these parents responding to this young lad in these moments? Like if he says what you can and can't say, demands where is his stuff, I need it now and you should be cancelled and all of the stuff that he's going on with. You know, what are you saying back to him? I suppose I'm inferring that you're kind of fighting back with him.
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah.
It's becoming this row between you. And one of the things to look at here is that when everyone is calmer, one of you, whichever one he's going to be less antagonistic with, to be honest, but one of you take him out for a drive and open up a conversation. Look, you're 14, you're not a small kid. And you're going to want different freedoms and new rules from us, but we're also going to want things from you. And it's not okay to behave the way you are.
Yeah.
And it will never be okay to speak to your parents, grandparents, or your sister like that. So it's just not on. And you lay it down, but you have to be very clear with him what the consequences of his behavior are. And this isn't about, I'm going to take your phone or what, because I just think you're going to, that's a waste of your time. But it is about talking to him about respect and how he's coming across. Okay. And what, you know, if you want things done, you have to work with us. We don't work for you. In other words, you know, we're not your unpaid staff here in the house, which is kind of how he's treating them. I do think impulsivity is there, but then again, the young adolescent brain, the part of it that develops so quickly is impulsive, thrill seeking, reward oriented, do it, do it, do it. And the part of the brain that is more associated with making good choices and weighing up pros and cons is absolutely underdeveloped in him.
Mm.
And it can result in this kind of obnoxious seeming behavior. It doesn't mean the child is obnoxious, but the behavior can look that way. It is about boundary and limit setting as well. And it matters just as much at 14 as it did when he was four. You know, when you would say very clear, no, no, you can't. I'm going to take that. Of course, you grow that up now, but you're back at that place of setting limits and the ground rules with him. It does sound to me like this young lad is struggling with changes that are going on for him, and everything is changing.
Yeah.
Physiologically, emotionally, psychologically, his friend group, body, well, everything is changing. And it doesn't sound like it's going well for him either. And he may well be lashing out at home because he's frustrated and scared and confused and not managing the changes that are going on. He may well need some support with that. And I'm wondering around that, is it just at home that he behaves this way? You know, the way kids can be one way at home and a very different kid outside. How is he at school or activities? Because if he is managing better outside of home, it's showing you he has capacity to behave well. It may be that he's working hard to keep all of his frustrations under control when he's outside of home, and then he unleashes them at home, but he has capacity. The other thing, Sean, that it brings up for me is I'm curious what content he might be viewing online. And if, as parents, you can, please don't go behind his back now and check things, because you're just going to breach what little bit of trust might be there. But, you know, he's 14. You may well have an arrangement with him that you are able to, we should be able to check his phone or whatever's going on with him, look through it with him, but get curious about what content he's viewing, what kind of messaging outside of your influence and messaging is in the mix here. And that might account for some of the attitude stuff that you're getting as well.
Okay. Maybe manosphere.
A little bit of that. I'd be curious over what kind of content creators that he's consuming. Yeah.
Yeah. Joanna, thanks a million. As ever, Joanna Fortune, there you are listening to the Moncrief Show on Newstalk.